The Honolulu City Council Zoning Committee advanced Bill 79, which hopes to rein in the growing problem of monster homes in residential neighborhoods. Residents complain about the units, which in some cases are being used for short-term vacation rentals. They blame the large homes for stressing sewage systems and street parking and contributing to the loss of green space. Thyla DeMott testified in support of the bill. She represents Malama Manoa, which has some 3,700 members.
We support Bill 79 CD2 because we have these LDDs popping up all over Manoa, and they are built strictly for profit. They are not housing families. Those of us who have these as our neighbors, we can see all the strangers coming and going. We can see them showing these as rentals. We see the ads on Craigslist, and the homes are built specifically for this purpose. And they also have very little green space, and a lot of alterations are made to the homes after the permit has been issued, and there's been no follow-up or enforcement on that. So what is necessary is to have this regulated from the very start, not through enforcement, but through bills and ordinances and laws and regulations. And that's the only way to get back our neighborhoods or keep this from becoming epidemic.
Manoa resident Dale Gilmartin also supports Bill 79.
My situation personally is probably not going to be helped by this bill, but this bill will help prevent these monster homes and illegal apartment buildings from going forward in the future. And if we can get a very clear message to these developers that this will not be acceptable, hopefully this will trickle down to the people who are already doing it. As I live next door to the historic Straub Mansion, which was illegally converted into 6 apartment units by an offshore investor who is reaping $10,000 a month in rent, has been under investigation for 3 years. And at this point, last month, they finally got a $1,000 fine to the homeowner and a $1,000 fine to the illegal business operator. That's a slap on the wrist when you're taking in 10 grand. So this is hopefully the kind of investment opportunity that will not be utilized in the future.
A moratorium is in place while the council works on ways to prohibit the building of monster homes. Vice Chair Carol Fukunaga questioned the Department of Planning and Permitting's Director Kathy Sokugawa about enforcement concerns.
If we were to move forward, you know, with this version of the bill, it would seem to me that for DPP, whenever we have submitted complaints that we receive from neighbors to the department, and we note, you know, there have been a number of instances where there's a continuing series of violations, it would seem that the department could even now begin to start cracking down on some of those really extreme violations, because, you know, clearly when you have 18 bathrooms and up for 23 bedrooms and other kinds of structures, there is something that really needs to be examined more closely.
That's a good point. When there is a project that doesn't look like it's a single family dwelling, but something else, they are required to file a restrictive covenant saying they understand that the use is only for one family, and they understand that the definition of family is not 25 unrelated people. So there is that. But again, the issue is, when we do a citation, we have to have a clear law that says what we're citing for. And until now, without passage of the moratorium bill or this bill, we're not regulating the number of bathrooms or wet bars or bedrooms. So we don't really have that to stand on. So the only thing that we can actually potentially cite is they're violating the use, which is they're not a family occupying a single family dwelling. And as we've talked about before, occupancy violations are not the easiest thing for us to create the evidence that's needed to file an NOV and withstand the civil fine appeals.
Now, the state is also taking a closer look at the proliferation of the large units. The tax office is refocusing its efforts to go after those who are illegally renting units as vacation rentals and not paying their fair share of taxes. Tax Director Linda Chutakiyama explains the efforts underway with the addition of a team of investigators. Expect the department to be more aggressive than it has been in the past.
Last year, when the legislature tried to wrestle with this problem of
transient accommodations and how to get them to step up to the plate in terms of the taxes that they owe, the legislature tried to respond by drafting a couple of pieces of legislation. They ran into all kinds of different problems, not the least of which were some federal laws that kind of got in the way. And so ultimately, they dropped that issue legislatively and didn't quite know what to do after that. So I suggested that if we can't do it on a wholesale level, you know, going after the industry as a whole, maybe we'll just have to do it one by one. A lot harder, take a lot more time. But I said in order to do that, I would need a lot more staff. And so the legislators decided that that was the way to go since they didn't have a bill that would survive. They allowed us to have an additional 5 investigators. And as soon as the legislature adjourned, we started the process of recruiting and hiring these investigators. We've got almost all the positions filled now, and they're currently in training. We're looking at a number of different things. One is, how are we going to identify which are the likely targets? Properties that appear to be rental properties, and we need to then find out who the owners are and are they paying their taxes, and if not, why not, that sort of thing. So we're in the process of kind of doing that right now, and hopefully we will have some results. In the meantime, this year's legislature is also looking at different ways of securing that information as well. So we'll see what happens.
So I know you folks went to court to try and see if you could get the records of these online companies.
Yes. In order for us to get a subpoena, to get the information that we need, you know, name, address, and all of that kind of stuff, we issued a subpoena to Airbnb. But in order to get permission from the court to issue that subpoena, we had to go before a judge. He rejected our request for the subpoena, saying that we didn't have enough information to show that if we issued the subpoena, that we would actually get enough information such that we could go after these folks for any kind of tax delinquencies they might have. So we decided to retrench, went back. We're digging around for the kind of information that the judge indicated he would like to see, namely to show that there's enough of a likelihood that if we had that information, that folks were not paying their taxes and we could go after them. We're working with the Attorney General's office now to put together that information and go for our second round of the subpoena.
Okay, to build a stronger case, essentially.
Yes, yes. Every jurisdiction has different laws. So we are also watching very carefully what's happening in New York. There was recently a decision out of Santa Monica that could be very helpful to us. So we're watching what's going on in some of those other places, trying to learn from that and seeing how much it applies to our own situation. But I think all in all, we're all struggling to see what the right approach is. And one of the things we have to be recognizing is in Hawaii, Airbnb, which has been a particular target of our subpoena, for instance, is not even the number one purveyor of this type of activity. HomeAway, VRBO, there are a couple of others that are even bigger, but they've got slightly different business models. And so they don't actually take in the money, and so maybe don't have as much information on their clients as Airbnb does. So, you know, they're kind of an easier target for us, at right. least initially. So, but eventually we'll be going after all of them.
This team of inspectors that you've got, enforcement, then looking at those, I guess, cash economies, whether it's vacation rentals or some other mm-hmm. business. So that's the immediate focus of this team.
Yes, absolutely. That's that is their focus.
And is the idea that you give them like a grace period, like come clean, or we come down with the big stick?
we do like to give them an opportunity to become compliant. We have an assortment of tools available to us, you know, penalties, fines. We will shortly, one of the things that we're looking to get from this legislative session is some hearings officers, because that would allow us, and we're actually being a lot more aggressive than the department has been in the past in getting people to comply with what the law is. So, for instance, we're looking at the possibility of non-compliant taxpayers, for instance, who have licenses, of getting their licenses revoked
And I don't believe the department's ever done that. And so we need to have a series of hearings officers set up to review those kinds of cases. We'll be looking at imposing penalties, and some of those penalties are pretty hefty, but we have those kinds of tools that have not been used quite so much in the past, and maybe folks have been a little lax about their obligations to pay their taxes, and hopefully now they'll pay more attention.
That was State Tax Director Linda Chu Takayama talking about a new team of investigators going after scofflaws ranging from operators of illegal vacation rentals to other cash economies.